Hello and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice, and I'm joined here in the studio with my friend and brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
What's up, Patrick?
Dan, we have an awesome, amazing, spirit-filled, apostolic guest today. His name is Dave Nodar. He's the founder and director of Christ Life International, okay? Yeah. An amazing ministry that's training and equipping the people of God to do the ministry of Jesus. And this is something that I'm so excited about. This is where my heart is in ministry, and I'm so excited. So everyone that's listening right now, you are in for an amazing hour. Before we get onto the show and everything that I'm excited about, Dan, can you lead us in prayer?
Yeah, we're going to open in prayer, and we just want to be ready that God isn't going to give us information today, but he's actually going to transform us today. So let's begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. This comes from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of dry bones. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, and you will make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. The bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is a sovereign Lord, he says, come, spirit, from the four winds and breathe into the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the spirit entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would send your spirit upon the church, and you would make of us not a valley of dry bones, but a spirit-filled people, a vast army ready to evangelize your kingdom. Lord, we pray for more equipping in the church. We pray for more resurrection in the church. We pray, Lord, that we would be an army for you, that we would go forth in every continent, on every nation, in every city, in every state, just evangelizing the name of Jesus, bringing people to an encounter with Christ Jesus, that their lives would be renewed and fulfilled. Lord, raise us up, fill us with your spirit, and equip us to be an army for you.
Amen. Father, I pray in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that today is during this show that you would start to call people, commission people to do the works of ministry. And Lord, I pray that that conviction would come through the power of the Holy Spirit, because we pray this in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
So good.
So good.
That was such a good scripture.
Hey, amen.
And I think it just points to what God is doing right now. He's raising up dry bones.
Yeah, I wonder how many parishes, you know, do you ever feel like you're just like, I'm in a valley of dry bones in my own church, right?
I know.
And the Lord says he wants us to start prophesying over these dry bones and actually to pray with boldness that our parishes would be renewed and filled with the Holy Spirit and become an army for the Lord, right? And so if you're feeling just that when you go to Mass on Sundays that your parish is a valley of dry bones, instead of complaining or instead of despairing, prophesy and start praying with boldness that God would raise up a vast army in our midst.
And this is not something that we can do from our own gift or our own, even we can't even do this just from our own prophetic gifts. We need the gifts of Jesus. We need Jesus to give us gifts to do what you're talking about, raising up an army. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4, okay? And this is where Paul is talking about the gifts of Jesus, okay? And then I'm going to just pick up here at verse 8. It says, therefore it says, he ascended on high and took prisoners captives. He gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. Mm. And he gave some as apostles, others as prophets, others as evangelists, others as pastors and teachers. Why? To equip the holy ones for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, that we may all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ. Dan, this is it right here.
Right there.
That Jesus gave gifts, equipping people and calling them to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? It says here that to equip the holy ones for the work of ministry, that we need to be trained and equipped to do the ministry of Jesus. And this is what I see happening right now in the church, that God is really starting to release these ministry gifts, that people would be trained up and equipped to do the ministry of Jesus, to actually walk in the full stature of manhood, that we're supposed to be in the full stature of Christ. That until that happens, our job as the saints on earth, as Catholics, is to, once we receive it, to give it away, to train up this army. An army cannot happen unless it is trained.
Amen to that. Yeah, Paul's understanding of holiness is so radical, and I think we've lost a lot of it, right? Paul really believes, if you read throughout his letters, he believes that we are called to be an image of Jesus Christ in the world, that we are transformed through baptism, through the Spirit, into the image of the only begotten Son, right? That we reflect Jesus's ministry in the world. And that doesn't come easy, right? Like, it's not like, hey, I go and I get sacramentalized and I go through the process of RCI and boom, all of a sudden I'm equipped to do the ministry of Jesus. It takes time. It takes prayer. It takes, as you were saying, some training, right?
Yeah, you need training. It's a lifestyle.
Amen.
So one thing that I love, Dave Nodar is the founder of Christ Life. And basically what I know is that Christ Life, it does that. It actually trains people to train people into ministry. Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
So we're going to bring Dave on the show. Dave is going to share with us his testimony of how he came to know the Lord, how he came to minister, to train, and the amazing fruit that he's seen. He's been all over the world, and I think we have so many amazing guests, but today in a special way, I feel so honored that we get to have him on our show, and he gets to share with you guys, our listeners, what is happening and what's possible in the Catholic Church. So we're going to bring Dave on the show right now. Dave, welcome to Encounter Radio.
Thanks, Patrick and Dan. Great to be with you guys and great to be with all your listeners.
Yeah, awesome. Dave, it's exciting.
Praise the Lord. So, Dave, can you just share with us, you know, your story, you know, what your faith was like growing up, how you came to know the Lord?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Well, I grew up in the 1950s and the turbulent 60s. In certain ways, could be similar to what we're experiencing today. I was raised in a good Catholic family, but in the teen years, actually at the wee age of 13 years old, we saw something on TV one Sunday night with these four mop-headed guys from Liverpool, England, the Beatles. And what they sort of held out, in a certain respect, almost like the world evangelists, this promise of life in this whole way of life that they were communicating in their music and in their looks and lifestyle, I said, I want to do that. And so I immediately got into learning how to play guitar and playing in rock and roll bands that were fairly popular in the Baltimore, Maryland area. And, you know, I got involved in the whole hippie scene that was huge at that time. And really, looking back on it now, I can say it was a good thing in terms of how much stuff I got involved with, stuff that was wrong, stuff that was sinful, and really brought me to the end of myself very quickly. I started to realize by the time I was 19 this deep, gaping hole inside of myself. And that's really something that a lot of people experience if they stop long enough. If they put their text to the side, put Facebook aside, turn off the TV and stop. A lot of us are faced with this fear of there's something missing, that something's not there, that something's not right. Well, I got to that point where I realized no matter how good a party I was at, it didn't do it. And no matter how good a relationship with some, you know, girlfriend was, or how good a gig the band I was in was, it wasn't dealing with this thing deep inside of me. And in 1970, when I was 19, four things happened. I look back on it now and say, God was merciful and sent me four ambassadors of mercy and love. My Irish grandmother, who lived with my family, pulled me aside. I'm long-haired, wearing a tie-dye shirt, blue jeans, and bare feet.
Yes.
And said, David, I'm really concerned about you. I'm going to be praying 3 rosaries a day for you.
Whoa.
Wow. that's a Holy
that's
Spirit bomb.
That's the end
bomb.
Game. Yeah, you're done.
You're done.
Busted. So, you know, the point here is intercession, the importance of intercession. Second thing that happened was my mom and dad got involved at Loyola University here in Baltimore with a Bible study, which was really novel at that time for Catholics. And my mom came home one night and she said, Dave, would you like to read the New Testament?
Yes.
And because of this growing sense of hunger, I said, yeah. Well, I consumed it. I consumed what went right through the Gospels and the New Testament, and especially the Gospels just undid me with the winsomeness, the loveliness of Jesus.
Yes. Amen to
and
that.
And how much he was concerned for the peripheral Jews. That is, I mean, put it like today, with the periphery of people going to church. And it really, you know, it was like the divine physician who laid his scalpel to that ache, and it started to change. Third thing that happened was a newly ordained priest who was at our parish befriended me. Now when I'd go to church with my family, go to Mass, I felt like people were scowling at me and judging me because of the way I looked, my appearance, which was a great excuse as a teenager to say why I shouldn't go. But this young priest reached out and befriended me. Just no comments, no judgment, just befriended me. That was huge for me to see somebody in the church who was concerned for me and just liked me.
Yeah.
And then the fourth thing was I had a fellow hippie who had not been raised as a Christian. He was brought up in a Jehovah Witness family. And he invited me and my girlfriend and some other kids up to his house one evening in January of 1971, invited us in, and went on to tell how his life had been radically changed by Jesus Christ. And it was shocking to all of us. It's like, what is he talking about? But the bottom line was, he said, Dave, Jesus changed my life. And he can change yours. And I had been trying to change my life. I knew a lot of the things I was doing was wrong. But I had come to a point of realizing I just can't change all this stuff. And the people, the relationships I had, just supported all this wrong stuff that I was involved in. And he's saying, Jesus, the person of Jesus, as Lord, can change your life. And I knew something had happened radical to him. He was peaceful. He used to be so crazy and anxious. He had joy on his face, and this was stuff you just can't work up. He wasn't faking it. He was just being himself now in this new relationship with Jesus. That was the last of the four things that were major league. The next 3 months of my life, everything fell apart. My band fell apart. My girlfriend broke up with me. The Beatles broke up. All this stuff happened.
It's all falling apart.
What am I going to do? And I was in a situation at a commune with some girlfriends of mine. Anyhow, it got real bad that night with some drug stuff they were involved in. And it was as if the Lord wiped away the scales from my eyes, and I saw the whole scene that I was involved with was not where life was. And I went home to my parents' home, and the next morning, March 11th, 1971, I called this friend of mine, Richard, up and said, I want what you have. I don't know how to get it.
Wow,
I
amen.
Went to his house without any explanation or introduction. In response to that question, he said, get down on your knees and ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Ask him, just tell him what you want. And I'm thinking, all I know is the prayers for Mass and nighttime prayers we'd say as a family, you know, the Our Father or the Glory Be or... But he said, no, sincerely, from your guts, just pray. And that's what I did, and I simply prayed, Jesus, help me. And I experienced the presence of God. And, you know, people say, well, how do you know that? I mean, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I experienced the presence of God as love for me personally, as forgiveness, and as power. And the first words out of my mouth at 20 years old was a simple Jesus, I never want to leave you again.
Wow.
I have never experienced it that way. But from a Catholic perspective, the reality is I was baptized, I was confirmed, I received the sacraments. But here's the thing that's really key for you who are listening. many of us, what's given to us in baptism and confirmation, that is the gift of the Holy Spirit, is like a Christmas gift that's been tucked away, that we've never opened up, that's supposed to give us power, first, to live a life of holiness. And by holiness, I don't mean looking the part. I'm talking about living in harmony with God's will.
Let your kingdom come.
Let your will be done in my life and through my life. So power for a holy life, for a holy transformed life. And second, that you want to be able to share that goodness and mercy and love of God with others. So the Holy Spirit is supposed to do that, but for most of us, we don't know how you do that. And it comes through this personal encounter with Jesus, asking him to be the Lord of your life. And he's the one who releases the power of the Holy Spirit that's given in those sacraments. So there's a need for this renewal, this release of the power of the Spirit. And that's exactly what happened to me when I was 20 years old.
Wow, and you were in the basement of your friend's house?
Yeah.
Wow, and God showed up in the basement of a Baltimore home. Praise the Lord.
With just two people, right? You don't need to have a huge conference or be on a retreat for the Spirit to come upon you, just in the basement of a house.
I love it.
Oh, listen, in the car, you know, next to your bed, in bed, you know, with a couple people, in church, you know, after receiving communion, all kinds of situations. The Lord is faithful and longs for those who are Christian, who've been baptized, to have this release of the power of his Spirit so that we can really live a lifestyle for Christ, for
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Dave, what happened? What happened next, man?
Well, I because this young priest, who's now a bishop, incidentally, what he did was he got me involved with CCD, you know, religious ed for public school kids. And I remember at the end of this session that I was involved with, the kids saying, why do we have to hear all this stuff about ethics? Back then it was about the morality of the Vietnam War or birth control and things like that. They're saying, we hear all this at school. Why don't we hear about what's the bottom line? What's our faith really? Where does it come from? What's it about? And so when I had this conversion experience, the first thing that occurred to me was, I want to get people together, and I'll start a Bible study. Now, that's absolutely outrageous. I knew very little about the Scriptures, but I knew that in 1 Corinthians 13, there was the chapter on love. So as a hippie, I thought, this is awesome. 1 Corinthians 13. So we started getting people together, but the problem was, every week, more and more kids, young adults, you know, early 20s, college students and college grads were getting together, and everybody was sharing these testimonies of transformed life, and we'd pray over people. We didn't know better. People were getting healed, and all this radical transformation was happening, and it quickly grew into a large meeting. It started in my bedroom at my parents' home, went to a convent at our parish, then went into the parish center, and became this huge young adult and more prayer meeting.
Oh, my gosh. And you started that, Dave.
Right, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now, when you say people are getting healed, what do you mean by that?
Well, for example, my closest friend who was a Jew came to faith. We basically shared the gospel. He saw the way my life was changing. And he had this radical encounter very similar to what I had. And incidentally, it doesn't have to be radical, experiential thing like a Saul of Tarsus. Many people experience just by surrendering to Jesus. What you want to look for is the fruit of a changed life. And God's faithful. If you ask Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, if you ask Jesus to release the power of the Spirit, or as Pope Benedict and Francis talk about, you know, and Jesus said, if you ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, release the power of the sacraments in you, it'll happen. So it doesn't have to be this profound thunder and lightning kind of event. Mm-hmm. You look for the fruit. And in this friend of mine's life, he had a busted up knee and tonsillitis. And when he asked Jesus to be the Lord of his life, you know, received prayer, he was healed of those things.
Wow.
Instantly,
wow.
You know. It just Amen. Happened. You know, we really didn't know better.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Dave, we have to come up with a break. We got to go to a radio break right now. So listeners, I want you to stay tuned. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. And when we come back on the flip side, we're going to have Dave sharing the next chapter of his life and eventually getting to how God called him to start Christ Life. So stay tuned right now. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We are joined back with Dave Nodar, the founder and director of Christ Life, and he's sharing his amazing radical conversion, which is just ordinary in an extraordinary way. But Dan, you had some insight off radio. Can you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, no, Dave, I just think your testimony is so powerful, and I don't want some of these key pieces to be missed. Your friend's words to you were incredible, right? That Jesus, he said to you, Jesus changed my life, and he can change yours. And
that's right.
Listeners, today, we're here to testify. Dave, Patrick, and myself, we are testifying that Jesus has radically transformed our life. He's given us a lasting joy and an authentic freedom that can't even be expressed in words. And he wants to change your life as well. And then, Dave, after you experienced that radical transformation, once you found that Jesus had changed your life, then you started inviting other people to be transformed as well. And I think, you know, later you're going to share about Christ's life and the amazing work that you're doing to train and equip Catholics for evangelization and for the ministry. But it was amazing because it was like the Spirit equipped you, right? Like you were a 20-year-old dude that didn't know how to evangelize, and you simply invited people into an encounter with Jesus. You had a Bible study, you prayed over them, and as you said, the numbers just kept adding. People were hungry. And listeners, I think it's really important that we don't lose sight of the fact that the Spirit equips us for the work of evangelization. That the Spirit, when you've been renewed and transformed in the Holy Spirit, like Dave shared about, he equips you to share this with others. And so if you don't have a master's degree in theology, you're still equipped to go out and to evangelize. If you don't have all the knowledge of all the doctrine and the dogma of the church, but you have the Spirit, you've been equipped for the work of evangelization. Evangelization isn't sharing doctrine, it's sharing a person. And his name is Jesus Christ, and he wants to transform you, and he wants to transform others around you. And he wants you to see that transformation taking place in your daily life, in your friends' lives, in your family members' lives. Dave, can you share a little more, like after this outpouring is happening in your midst as the numbers are growing, what were you kind of experiencing? Like, what were you thinking?
Yeah, it really was for me, for those who've seen the original movie, The Wizard of Oz, it was like going from black and white to color movie. You know what I'm saying?
That's a great example.
And for me, it was like, oh my goodness, this is so awesome. Why isn't everybody Christian? Honestly, that's what I experienced. And so it was just natural for me to want to talk to others about what Jesus had done for me that I knew was intended for everybody. I mean, God wills that all people would come into union, relationship, friendship with himself. And one of the things that's important for our listeners to know is that the magisterium, the teaching church, our popes, you know, have talked since Vatican II back in the 60s about the need for what they call a personal encounter or friendship with Jesus. And most recently, Pope Francis has talked about the desperate need for us as Catholics to personally encounter Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if we know that love personally, we'll want to share that with others. And it doesn't mean you've got to be on a stage in front of several thousand people or 100 people. It's in the daily living where we are so convinced of his mercy, love, his forgiveness of sins for us, that we just feel compelled by that love to share it with others. So it's really something the church has been teaching about. And back in 62, before the beginning of Vatican II Council, Pope John the 23rd, St. John the 23rd, asked the whole Catholic Church after Sunday Masses to pray for a new Pentecost. He prayed that the Church would be renewed as in the a new Pentecost. And why he was doing that was he felt this great need for us to be able to proclaim the gospel. He was very deeply, personally convinced about what's called the kerygma, the basic gospel of God's love for us revealed in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So he was saying, please, as church, we need the power that Jesus told his disciples to wait for in order to be able to convince those around us. So that's just really key.
Yeah.
So Dave, let me get this right. Around the same time that the Pope was praying for that, you were going through your own thing and you didn't even know it, right?
That's right.
Wow.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So it looks like the Pope John the 23rd's prayers were being answered in your life. Wow.
Yeah, widely. And, you know, there was something going on in the late 60s that there was this magnificent response to that prayer of a new Pentecost, of a great outpouring that was happening. And in different parts of the Christian people, you know, part of it was among many, many hippies, you know, this countercultural lifestyle thing. There was the Jesus movement. There was this broad charismatic movement in the Catholic Church and in the traditional churches. So there was something afoot where the Lord in his mercy was pouring out the power of his Spirit for the sake of his church to be who were intended to be, a people, disciples on mission, which is precisely what the church has been teaching and calling for, a great relaunching of evangelization, which the church teaches is, in fact, the essential mission of the church.
Amen. 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 Yeah. Now, Dave, This is what happened. I want to know what happened next. You know, you're yeah, leading these giant prayer meetings. Signs, wonders, and miracles are happening. What happened next?
Well, I'd say something that was very significant and important for me personally, and then had great impact on lots of us who were gathering together, was the need for a lifestyle. You know, we realize the church is intended to be a community. It's meant to be the family of God. It's meant to be assembling together as brothers and sisters who can support one another in holiness and in mission. And I was very fortunate. I was going to a meeting that was happening at the seminary, and they talked about this large conference that was going to be held at Notre Dame University in June of 71. And I went, and at that meeting, I just happened to go to a workshop, two-part workshop, by Dr. Ralph Martin on union with God and daily personal prayer. And that was so formative to me to have that happen just a few months after my conversion. I already had this hunger, which was one of the fruits of the release of the Spirit in my life, a hunger for prayer, a hunger for the sacraments, a hunger for God's Word in Scripture. And so hearing Ralph Martin talking about personal prayer just established a critical, really essential foundation for discipleship, is union with God in a daily personal prayer life, not just rosary or not just Mass, all of which are good, and obviously the Mass essential, but this whole idea of getting aside personally for private time with the Lord. So that was one of a beginning of things. This large prayer meeting became a community here in Baltimore of several hundred adults and several hundred children over the years, and it was focused on discipleship and mission. And we had all kinds of outreaches. We did dramatic kind of things, you know, drama. We did all kinds of street kind of things, evangelization. We did things on university campuses. So and a real foundation of it was our lifestyle. And maybe we can come back to that later.
But yeah,
the whole idea of lifestyle, of living for Christ, to live is Christ, to die is gain, is what St. Paul says in Philippians 1:20. That's the essential meaning of life, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And getting into a lifestyle where our lives reflect the real countercultural life is essential for our culture to see.
Yeah, earlier, Dave, you shared that, you know, once you encounter Jesus Christ, if you've encountered that powerful love, you can't help but share it with others. And I feel like so many of us, our lifestyles aren't reflective of sharing the gospel, right? That we almost compartmentalize the gospel where I do my Catholic thing on Sunday, and then I may do my Catholic thing on Monday night or maybe Thursday night if I'm in the choir or I'm in a men's Bible study. But our lifestyles, we struggle to do the Catholic thing, right? We struggle to evangelize at work. We struggle to evangelize in the marketplace. We struggle to evangelize at our children's sporting events, right?
That's right.
But Jesus wants this love to overflow into every aspect of our life. And listeners, I think a good examination that we should always have for myself and yourself is that if we're not sharing the gospel and if our hearts aren't compelled to share the gospel at every moment, then there's probably a part of us that needs more renewal, that we mm-hmm. need more of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that we haven't yet encountered the fullness of what God has for us or desires for us. And so if you're not compelled to share the gospel at work, if your heart's not burning to share the gospel with your friends and your neighbors, then possibly you need to go on your knees and ask the Lord to pour out more of his Spirit in your life and renew you and transform you more and more every day.
As simple as that, Dan. Get on your knees, ask the Lord for it.
Exactly.
And if he knows how to give, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Father give us the Holy Spirit? Jesus says. So this is so good.
Let me jump in for 1 second, Patrick.
Yeah.
Dan, what you just said, you could have been quoting Pope Francis in his exhortation Joy of the Gospel, chapters 1, 2, and 3. That's exactly what he says to us, is to examine ourselves in terms of how this joy is supposed to overflow to others. And I'd like to say, when Dan's saying compelled, it's not a guilt trip. It's not another check off the box. Okay, I've done that now. It's something that overflows out of a lifestyle.
Yes, amen mm-hmm. to that. I like to say that holiness is not about doing, it's about becoming, right?
We're not trying
to do a lot of good things that we call holy. We are trying to become an image of Jesus Christ in the world. And it's not about me. It's about the work that the Spirit accomplishes in me. And so I don't have to be active. I have to be receptive. And our prayer doesn't have to be active. It's receptive. Holy Spirit, come and just transform me into an image of Jesus Christ. Come right now, Spirit, upon our listeners and upon all of us, and just transform mm-hmm. us into the image of Jesus Christ so that we minister like Christ, we heal like Christ, we preach like Christ, we love like Christ. That is what you desire for us, Spirit of God.
That's right.
Amen. So good. Dave, I know that part of your story is about taking this over to Europe. How did that happen? Am I skipping ahead too far?
Well, we can jump there if you'd like to. Yeah.
I want to make sure we have enough time because, you know, the show is starting to fly.
Well, I have to share some background about some things.
Give us the background.
That happened. You know, I was involved in this leadership of this community that was part of a broader movement of communities internationally. That now has pontifical rights, but we had learned about how the physical healing and other things that we are involved with were charisms that the church has been really strong on. In fact, in the catechism, you can read about the importance of charisms for apostolic vitality. And a set of us in this international movement were actually praying for deeper understanding of the charisms, deeper renewal and power for them. And I met a gentleman, a pastor named John Wimber in 1984. And John had this incredible passion for equipping everyday ordinary Christians to move in the power of the Holy Spirit for the sake of others. And it included healing, it included just being able to help encourage people through words that the Holy Spirit inspired in them and so on. And in 1993, I'd already been doing international speaking, but John Wimber invited Dr. Ralph Martin and myself to go to Warsaw, Poland. It's after the collapse of communism. And he was invited to speak at this ecumenical gathering, and he knew full well that it would be majority of Catholics because it was in Poland. So he asked Ralph because of his international reputation and asked me because I was actually doing seminars on learning to move in the spiritual gifts and physical healing seminars. So we went and did this large conference of several thousand people. And after that, someone in Poland asked me if I'd come back in 1994 and do a school of evangelization for young adult Catholics from the former Soviet bloc. And so from 1994 up into the early 2000s, I regularly went over into Central and Eastern Europe and did these schools in which we'd talk about we really are called to this personal relationship with the Lord. How do we get into it? What are the basics of the gospel so that we can learn to communicate them? And also, what is the power that Jesus promised us and wanted his disciples to move in? That is, this power for praying for healing and so on.
Wow. Dave, are there a few stories you could share with our listeners of what that looked like?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, well, in one situation, I was in a large Catholic church. It was in March, and I've got a Gandhi type of body, and it was freezing cold in this place. I've got my winter jacket and gloves on, and I'm thinking nobody's going to show up. But the place was filled to capacity, standing room only. And the other person, in this case it was Ralph Martin, was speaking first, and then I was supposed to get up, and while I'm sitting there, next to him while he's speaking, I start to get this clear sense that there's a woman named Alicia in the very back of the church in this alcove that was used for confessions. And it's people are all standing back in this alcove. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. Okay, Lord, there's a woman back there named Alicia. And, okay, and so so he gave me this word for her, and so when I got up and it was my turn to teach, I got up and I said, now, I don't mean to be awkward or embarrass anybody, but is there a woman back in that alcove? And I pointed to the area, and the translator translated into Polish, and I said, named Alicia. So the whole church looks back toward the back, and at this point I can hear the saw on the limb of the tree where I'm sitting, sawing, you know, thinking they're going to drag me outside and stone me. And so sure enough, out comes this woman. She walks out into the you know, from the alcove, all these people standing in the back there. And I said, Alicia, the Lord wants you to know that he loves you. And it's like in Matthew 3 where Jesus is baptized and the Father says, this is my beloved Son. He's saying, you are my beloved daughter. And whether you're in a crowd or alone, I know you personally by name. And for the, you know, whatever it was, 1,400 or 2,000 people, I don't know, this was a prophetic sign for all of us that whether we're in a crowd or in a room by ourselves, God knows us by name, and he loves us dearly. So that would be one example. You know, lots of stories. I don't know if you want me to tell others. But
well really quick, that's amazing because, I mean, listeners, what Dave just demonstrated there was an exercise of the prophetic gift of hearing God's voice for another person, for other people. And I think the power of prophecy, Dan, is that, you know, God demonstrates to other people through our incarnate word that we're manifesting that he knows us, that he loves us, that he knows every hair on our head, he knows our name. And I think that's the first way that God wants to demonstrate his love, is like, you can't love that which you do not know. And like, God just demonstrated his love to Alicia and a crowd of 2,000 people that he knows you.
Yeah, and that sounds like crazy. Like, okay, so Dave, you're praying, and now all of a sudden God tells you this name and then tells you a message. But actually, it's not all that crazy if we're living in the new Pentecost, like the popes have prayed for, right?
That's right.
We see this in the Acts of the Apostles, that Ananias is praying, and God says, Ananias, there's going to be a man named Saul, and he's going to come to you, and this is the message I want you to give him. So Ananias, in the spirit of prayer, receives a word from the Lord that Saul is coming to him, and the message he has for Saul. It's actually a very normal expression of the Holy Spirit alive in the Christian people. And
that's
I think
right.
this is just a small element of what God wants to do again in his church. So we are living in a new Pentecost.
Wow. So, Dan, we're actually coming up on a break in just a little bit here. But, Dave, we have one more segment. When we bring you back on, can you share us about with our listeners about Christ's life, what it is, and everything like that? Will you have time for that?
Sure, absolutely.
Awesome. So you are listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. And like I said, when we come back on the flip side of this break, Dave is going to share about how God birthed Christ's life through this and how we can be a part of that. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the final segment of Encounter Radio, a production of St. Gabriel Radio, and we're finishing our up with Dave Nodar, the founder and director of Christ Life. Dave, you've shared your testimony, how you came to the Lord in the basement of a house in Baltimore, Maryland, and then how you were going and doing evangelization schools in Central and Eastern Europe. So, Dave, you've got to tell us a story about Christ Life.
Yep, be glad to. Let me start by saying, again, one of those things of the importance of our own personal prayer and the sense of being with other brothers and sisters, leaders who can help support and discern things. 1989, for a full year, 89, I kept on hearing from Isaiah chapter 43, 18, 19, and 20, the words of the Lord, "Forget the former things, don't dwell in the past. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not yet perceive it?"
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I was hearing that by reading Scripture and reflecting, meditating on it personally. But I'd also be in different situations here in the U.S. and abroad where people would come up and say, I feel like this is an important Scripture for you. Or they would just simply say, I feel like the Lord's saying he's doing something new. And so from 89 to 95, I was caught in the tension between knowing the Lord saying he's doing something new and with his question, "Do you not yet perceive it?" saying, "Honestly, I don't have a clue." And really, it was just a call to personal prayer and to praying with others in small group and with other leaders that I was involved with. And by 95, it became very clear that the Lord was calling me out of the responsibilities of leadership I had in this community and this community movement to start a Catholic ministry of evangelization. And it really was precipitated both by my experience of knowing I knew some things about evangelizing and also the reality that Pope St. John Paul was constantly saying, this can become a new time of apostolic fervor if we respond with generosity and holiness. And felt like I could really try to make some small contribution to what he called the new evangelization. And so it became clearer and clearer, and in 1995, I went to our Archbishop, Cardinal William Keeler, and submitted starting a Catholic evangelization ministry, which he was so thrilled about because, as he would say, you know, who wants to deal with the dreaded E word? Because most Catholics think it's Protestant, which it harkens back to the foundations of the Catholic Church, in fact.
Yep.
So he established us as an apostolate right away. So we've existed since 1995, and our mission is to help others to discover, follow, and share Jesus Christ. And we do that by equipping dioceses, parishes, and young adults in communities and various groupings to evangelize. And we practically do it by a three-course DVD series that's not a program, something you pop in, oh, let's do this in Lent, or let's do this in Advent, or let's do this along with this other DVD series. It's intended to be a process of making missionary disciples. So the first course, 7 weeks long with a retreat, is called Discover Christ. It's for anybody and everybody, people in the pews, people who've dropped out of the church, whether they're Catholic or other Christians who've dropped out, or for the unbaptized of world other world religions or non-religious families, for anybody and everybody. And the whole point of that course is to bring people to encounter Jesus personally, to make a response to this wonderful news of God's love. That's the first course. The second course, what happens when you have an encounter course, for example, Alpha is another course that people would be familiar with. That's like our Discover Christ course. What happens at the end of an evangelizing course, and a course that's focused on encountering the person of Jesus, is that people at the end are enthusiastic and say, what's next?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And then there's the awkward crickets.
Parish staffs are going with anxiety, oh, my goodness, what's next? And it's not meant to just plug in anything to the program. What you need to do is have a process that's relational, where you're thinking, we have a responsibility to those who are evangelized to come to a place of conversion. St. John Paul said, conversion means accepting by a personal decision the saving sovereignty of Christ and becoming his disciple. So we wanted to have the encounter piece, but then when people are saying, what's next? It's come follow me. We want to help people to follow Jesus Christ. So we have a second 7-week course that follows shortly after discovering Christ on Catholic discipleship. And it's on basics that we see in the Gospels, in the Epistles, and in the tradition of our church. And it really is applicable to any Christians. And from following Christ, we go to the third 7-week course, which is called Sharing Christ. And that's exactly what it is. The magisterium is saying all the baptized have the responsibility to make Christ known. And so we want to teach principles and basics of how we share Jesus Christ one-on-one, as well as how we share the Lord as parishes and various ministries. So that's what we're doing. And in the last 7.5 years, since we committed these courses to DVD so that parishes can use our teaching, we've had 70,000 people go through the Christ Life process or be involved with the Christ Life process. Go ahead.
Wow.
So from a basement in Baltimore, Maryland to 70,000 people.
Amen.
Come
yeah.
Holy Spirit, make a vast army
That's
of missionary disciples.
That's almost half of 144,000. You're getting half of them, Dave. Yes. So, Dave, can you share, how does it work? If I'm listening right now and I'm like, oh my gosh, I want that. I know you train leaders. Can you talk about the leadership training?
Sure. Well, let me start by, if people go to christlife.org, and I don't know if you'll have that up, Patrick, in a way people can get it.
Yeah, on the encounterradio.org archive, we're going to have that under your show.
Okay, good deal. So christlife.org is where you can learn about it. What we do is we aim at training leaders. We do diocesan training conferences regularly. You can look on our website for the upcoming ones. April 26th to 28th, we have our national conference here in Baltimore that trains how to do all three of the courses, as well as has a second track for people who are practitioners, clergy and laity, who come back together because they're learning creative ways in the Holy Spirit to really make this even more effective by having it for like a soup and sandwich for a midday thing, for having it in a bar, you know, all kinds of things. We have a young adult community that regularly does mission using the Christ Life process. So we want to be able to train effectively how to evangelize, which is so foreign for most of us as Catholics, including clergy and religious and laity.
Wow.
It's a new territory for us.
Now, Dave, so I have a question. If this is something I want to start in a parish, or if I'm on a parish staff or whatever, I could potentially come out to your conference and get trained to run Christ Life in my parish. Is that right?
That's correct.
Wow.
That's the thing. That it's the DVDs along with the training, because it really calls for hands-on training to learn some dynamics that most of us just aren't familiar with.
That's totally true. And I know from experience, I've seen parishes run Alpha very effectively when they have amazing leaders that are already there. I've seen it done very poorly, and the difference maker is the leaders. So
that's
the
right.
fact that you offer training to form the leaders is the game changer, I think.
Well, and also, I mean, what you're talking about, to become a missionary disciple, this whole show has been about, we need the Spirit of God to descend upon us and stir us up. The Spirit
Absolutely.
Of God is not necessarily transferred through DVD series, but through person to person. And so when you minister to the leaders, then you're passing on the Spirit, stirring up the Spirit in their lives so that they're able to then stir up the Spirit in other people's lives.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Good.
That's the goal. I mean, you know, if 10, 15 years from now nobody remembers Christ's life, that's fine as long as we've raised up thousands of missionary disciples. And here's the thing. We are in a time of radical upheaval in our culture and in the world. And what's needed is missionary disciples. It can't be just going to Mass on Sunday.
Mm-mm.
Like Dan had said earlier, you know, you can't just check off the boxes. This calls for people 24/7 surrender to Jesus' Lordship, who wake up in the morning and say, Lord, lead me, I'm yours, my calendar is full, but whatever you call for, if you bring in divine appointments, I'm ready, I'm willing.
Yeah.
Dave, let me ask a question. So suppose I'm a listener of St. Gabriel Radio, I'm hearing this show right now, and my parish isn't ready to do something like this. How can I, as an individual, benefit from what you're offering?
Yeah, well, if again, the website's got a lot of resources and a valuable kind of input for helping people to move forward. And I'd say, similar to something Pope Benedict said when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, there are people always around us who are trying to really live faithfully as his disciples. So I'd say pray and ask the Lord to connect you with some people who really want to live for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So good.
Amen.
Dave, I just see God doing something new. Like really new, like that Isaiah 43, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I'm seeing like as the culture continues to like spiral down, I only see the church growing in greater power. What do you see, Dave, happening?
Yeah,
right now?
I actually believe this is a time where there may be some real shaking and further purification for the church here in the States and in the West, but it's intended to bring us to our knees before the Lord. The answer is Jesus. I mean, it can sound very simplistic, but in the midst of all that's going on internationally and here in the States, it's a call for surrender personally and as parishes and as local churches. We need that. And the great thing is the comfort that I believe that we should pray, just like John the 23rd praying for a new Pentecost, pray for a tsunami of the Holy Spirit to just move with great mercy to bring people to repentance, that is, to a change of the way they think. We need to see the delusion, the deception over our country lifted, where we return again from a place of lawlessness to the Lordship of Jesus. That's
amen.
Dave, we need to pray for all
people. Let's pray for that right now. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come into agreement with everything that Dave was talking about that we need. We need a tsunami of you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we're done with the ministry of men. We need the ministry of Jesus.
Amen.
So Holy Spirit, it is your job to reproduce the life of Christ within us. So I ask you to come. I ask you to come with your power. Come with your anointed manifest presence. Come with your love. Come and transform us. Come and break the church down and put her on her knees. Lord, I pray that you bring us together, that you would unite Catholics and Protestants, that you continue your ministry of signs, wonders, and miracles, that we would not get caught up with us because it's not about us. It is about you. So, Lord, I just pray for more in Jesus' name.
And as the Lord prophesied through Isaiah, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing something new. Lord Jesus Christ, allow our listeners to know that you are doing something new right now in their lives. Accomplish a new work. Pour out a new portion of your Spirit right now on our listeners' lives. Come, Holy Spirit, pour out afresh, pour out anew. Give them new insights, new visions, new dreams, new passions, a new vigor, a new desire for evangelization so that we may all discover Jesus, we may follow Jesus, and we may share Jesus. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank Dave, thank you so much for being on the show. On behalf of Dan and I, we want to thank everyone for joining us on Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. To learn more about us, our show, or how you can share your life-changing encounter, you can go to encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org. Thank you so much.